I have a couple of announcements for you this morning, just to let you know. Some have asked how the softball match went. We'll say we got shellacked two times, but the second game was better than the first, so maybe after we practice a little more, we'll be better. But we had a very enjoyable time, just a few sprinkles, beautiful sunshine that night, no major injuries, so that was good. We were glad for that time of fellowship with Faithway Baptist Church. We've been working with them, as you know, on organizing the singles ministry between a number of churches. I think up to 10 different churches have participated at this point. We have our next one of those scheduled on September 12th, for those of you that are in that category in the singles ministry. And that will be here in Ann Arbor. We're hosting that, so please take note of that. And we've invited all those other churches to participate as well. Today we are privileged to have Dave Kurowicki with us. He is a missionary with RBM Ministries, and he will be leading our Bible school, Vacation Bible School, starting tonight, running tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 6:15 to 8 o'clock. And I hope that if you're a parent of a young person, you can bring them here, and maybe a friend or a neighbor, something like that as well. He will be setting up after this service this morning. You might want to offer him a helping hand to carry something inside or whatever. And then we'll be starting tonight at 6:15 with the VBS. Our normal service time is 6 o'clock, and we all should be here by then anyway so we can get ready for the Vacation Bible School. But for those of us that won't be exactly or directly involved in the Vacation Bible School, we'll still have a little Bible study upstairs while the children are having theirs. So please come out for that. As well. So that's this evening, 6 o'clock. I was just noting in the bulletin here that today is probably, perhaps, the final Sunday for our brother Chris Zent to be with us. Chris is over here in the second row on my right hand side. He's been coming here for some time. He's going to be moving as to Phoenix, is it? Yes, the Phoenix area. So tonight also, after the evening service, we'd like to just have a little ice cream to enjoy together and send him off on his way with the Lord's blessing and prayer. And so if you can participate in that, please stay as well after the service. I think we have some good chocolate ice cream waiting in the freezer, but if you want to see me, maybe you can contribute the vanilla or something else to that effort. That would be good. We will be closing the Vacation Bible School on Wednesday, and so we'll have an abbreviated prayer meeting, and then the parents will join with the kids for the closing program for that as well. Next week already is the last of August, and we anticipate having a fellowship with Hiawatha Bible Church, just about 20 minutes north of here. They've invited us up to their church to be involved in their fifth Sunday Singspiration service in the evening. That's at 6:30. So please take note of that and come out for that if you can. I know it'll be a great time. We'll take the bus out if there's enough people that want to carpool together, or we'll just ride up there individually, whatever works for you. But I'd like to invite you to come out for that so that we'd be an encouragement to them. They've had a number of difficulties in their church recently and this year, and we can just go and be an encouragement and strengthen them and be encouraged as well in the ministry of song together. We need some desserts to be prepared for that as well. You can see the sign-up sheet in the back bulletin board there in the hallway. And also, I didn't mention this last week, I should have, but Joyce Cartwright has volunteered to be kind of a prayer coordinator. So if you have prayer requests that you want to be brought to our attention on Wednesday night or Saturday morning for the men, then you can just use the email address or call her on the phone. And she can collect all those things together and put a document together so we can have that on Wednesday night. Our goal is to spend less time talking about and gathering prayer requests and do more of praying and spend more time that way. So that's our goal, and Joyce will be able to help us to achieve that with that ministry to us. I'm very glad that she's taken that up. So see her if you have prayer requests that you want to share with the church. All right. Have I forgotten anything? My memory is not here today. She's at home with David, who is not well, and the other kids who are probably all germed up too, so we'll have to do without her here this morning. But In any case, let's ask the men if they'll come forward and take up our offering for the Lord's work here and abroad. Thank you, gentlemen, for that help. Appreciate that. And Ben Carnes will be sharing some music on his violin, accompanied by Rebecca Mayer. Thank you, Brother Ben. Would you lead us in prayer and thanks for the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, to honor you and worship, Lord. We thank you for our brother Ben, Lord, who's playing, and we pray that you continue to grow him in his ministry. Lord, we call to give thanks to thee, Lord, for what we're about to give. Lord, that you would bless it and take this and, Lord, use it for your glory, Lord, to spread the gospel throughout a world that is dying. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. If you have your Bibles, I want to share a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. We read chapter 11 last week and dealt with a portion of that chapter in our study. We'll do the same this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Well, we really should read chapter 13, because that more excellent way is the way of love. How to exercise spiritual gifts in the assembly is through love. Without that, then it's all empty, as Paul says in chapter 13. But let us pray, and then we'll focus in a few minutes on some of these verses here in chapter 12. Father in heaven, I thank you for this passage of Scripture, how plainly it lays out our situation as people with a body that has various members, and this corresponding to our participation in the local church and in the universal church, the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to glean from this passage the truths here and put them into practice. That we would not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but as God has, you have dealt to each one of us the measure of faith, we would think of ourselves humbly and be thankful for the gift or gifts that you have given to each one of us and show that thankfulness by use. Lord, I pray that you will help us as believers today too to use that which you have given to us in the gospel. And I'm thinking this morning, Lord, of the truth of the simplicity of the gospel, that we are saved through faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any works that we could do to try to obtain salvation. But there is in many the lack of that knowledge. And many people think that if their good outweighs their bad, or if they're lucky enough or whatever, they will make it to heaven. Lord, I pray that for those of us that know the truth, you would help us to be bold to share it with others, that though they think we are insane because the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, that there will be some who would hear, some whom your Spirit would transform, so that their ears could hear and perceive the truth and become born again. Lord, but let it not be laid at our charge that we did not share the gospel and tell others in our family and co-workers and classmates and all about its truth. Help us to be defenders of the truth. And Lord, help us also to stand up for that which is right in a more broad sense of the morality that you would have for us to have, the ethic of the believer, in the midst of the tide of evil that so washes over our land. Father, may we break those waters, those tide waters. We think, Lord, of the little ones who have lost their lives. We think of the elderly who are in danger. We think, Lord, of those that are handicapped in one way or the other, who are seen by the world as an expense, as a number, as a drag on the economy or health care. Lord, we think of those who feel that any kind of immoral behavior is fine as long as it's between two agreeing people. Oh God, we pray you help us to stand up against these things, to proclaim that which is right and good. And Lord, we know that without God, without the Scriptures, a people will perish. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us. Give us a revival, we pray. Heaven-sent, Spirit-energized, and Word-centered, that people might come and really flock to Christ for a time at least before the end. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in our midst. And we pray that for our Vacation Bible School tonight, that children will be sanctified and unbelieving children will be saved. We don't know where each one of these children are in their spiritual life, but we pray that they will be brought along the way of truth. And we pray for our brother Kerwicki, that you will energize him and give him strength and health and the words to say, and work through those words as means for the spiritual work, the work of the Spirit in the lives of these children, something that neither Dave nor I nor anyone else can do, but only you can do. And we entrust that work to you, and just know and trust that you will do what is pleasing in your sight in the hearts of these little people today. Lord, thank you for giving us health. I pray for those that are not well in our midst. Some have come with physical infirmity. Others have had to stay home. We pray for each one that they will experience your grace in a special way this morning, that they will trust you with all of their heart, and they will not give up, though they may be one of those members that we read about of the body, which is maybe considered least, or some would look at as unimportant, that they would recognize that they are just as much a member of the body as everyone else. Father, encourage us to do that which is right. Make us holy. We desire this, Father, together as a church. We ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mrs. Widgeon, would you come up and minister to us in song? Thank you.
And this song is based in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" 'Twas the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song, and the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy. As I cried out in fear, ship ahoy. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion, God took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins are washed away. In the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul sinking deep, neath sin's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. So trust him today, and no longer delay, board that old ship of Zion, and shout on your way. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way, Jesus saves. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can shout, bless the Lord. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way, Jesus
saves. I think I just soon set still for a few minutes, let that soak in. Thank you, Betty. That's an oldie but a goodie. Thank you. Well, before our message this morning, let's stand together and we'll sing hymn number 178. We can echo that by singing that we know our Redeemer lives. Hymn number 178, please. Children are dismissed for their time as well.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Our subject this morning for the sermon is Why Church Membership? I've taken a couple of weeks, three now, to study some different topics or passages. We looked at premillennialism. We looked at sin and its relationship to sickness last week. And this week we're looking at this issue of membership, church membership. There's some questions about this, and I just thought I'd address some of those and help us from the scriptures to understand a little bit more about why we do this and where it comes from in the Bible. Questions such as, why should I become a member of a church? What is membership? Is it in the Bible? What's in it for me, you might ask? Well, I hope to answer some of these. First, we, though, have to answer the question, member of what? Becoming a member of what? What are we talking about? Well, specifically in these notes, we'll be discussing membership in the local church, which is a, if you will, a small scale model of the universal church, the entire body of Christ, of all believers. At least we'll limit ourselves to all living believers. Those that have gone on before have, shall we say, joined the greater church in heaven. But we're talking about on earth here for living saints. So this is a member of the local church. What is the local church? Well, I give a definition. It's a body or group of regenerated, baptized believers who are organized together for the purpose of carrying out the ordinances. They have a pastor and deacons. They meet regularly to worship God, to receive instruction in the Word of God, to have fellowship together, to carry out the Great Commission of evangelism, and to propagate that institution of the local church until the Lord returns. So the question arises then regarding membership. Are we talking more about membership in the body of Christ, the universal church, or membership in a local assembly? And unfortunately, those two things are not always correlative, I guess you might say. You could be a member of the body of Christ, a true believer, in other words, but not a member of a local church. Now, I think that's wrong. It's unfortunate, but it is the way sometimes that it is. On the other hand, even worse is if you are a member of a local church, but not a member of the body of Christ. And there are a lot of people that are in that situation. So your membership may be in one or the other when it should be really in both together. And I hope that, you're not a member of our church, but are not a member of the body of Christ. Because membership could in that way give you a false assurance. You say, well, I'm a member of that church, and that's a good church. But that's not going to, it's not going to raise your marks. Let's just say it that way, on God's scale of grading scale. You have to be a member of the body of Christ. Well, we're going to focus on membership in the local church today. I hope you understand that membership in the universal church is just a prerequisite. It's required. It's necessary. It is that if you are born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have your sins forgiven, that you are then a member of the body of Christ. It tells us that all believers, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're all baptized into one body. There are no true believers that have not been brought into this body and become members of it. But there are some who have not been become members of the local church. Now, I want to just address some biblical texts regarding this issue and then look at some implications as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 commands each believer to be a part of a local church. I'm just going to say it like that, and you'll have to swallow it whole and take it, because that's all there is to it. There is nothing in the New Testament that assumes that there are going to be a bunch of believers in one place or another, or some age or another, that are not associated together in a local church. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." A hermit Christianity, an individual Christianity, is never envisioned in the New Testament. It is always together with other believers. Consider as proof of this idea that the scriptures are full of one another commands. How do you do a command like love one another, or here exhort one another, or be of the same mind toward one another, or all these commands? And I've listed just 6 or 10 of them here from the book of Romans itself. But there are probably 30 to 40 such commands in the New Testament. How do you do that if you are trying to exist as an individual Christian? For the apostles then, the atmosphere was like this. It was simply assumed that you would join to a local church and be a part of that body. It was never assumed otherwise. To ask the question of the Apostle Paul, "Should I join with a church?" would be a question that you would never even ask. It was just understood that you would. Paul would, he would scratch his head and say, "What are you talking about? You have fellowship with those people. You want to get together with those people. Even if it means persecution, you would do that." So it's just an assumption. It would be way out of line to even ask the question. If you're a real Christian, the natural thing to do would be to join yourself with another body, with the body of believers. Now, as far as further justification for the concept of becoming a member of a local church, there are 5 texts in the New Testament that indicate that a list of believers was kept. One way or the other, there was a list of people who belonged to a particular church. And we'll look at those. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "That day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And verse 47, "They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." We see in chapter 4, verse 4, "Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. How did they know the number if they didn't know who was who? Who was a believer and who wasn't a believer? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9 is another indication that there was an understanding, a knowledge of who was in and who was out, in a sense. 1 Timothy 5:9, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has certain qualifications, been the wife of one man, reported for good works, brought up children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work." This was welfare for widows in the church. They were taken care of by the church. If they were destitute and unable, then the church was responsible to take care of them, but with these requirements: not under 60, and had done all these kind of good works, had been a solid Christian, and she should not be then otherwise taken into this number. The church knew who was part of the church. The church knew who were these widows that qualified, and they were taken onto a little sub list. And the deacons were probably instructed, "You got to take care of this lady and help her with her needs." Acts chapter 6, if I could go back there with you, flip back to Acts chapter 6, you'll see another indication of a knowledge of who is in the church and who is not. This is, of course, the selection of the first deacons. In Acts 6, verse 2, "The 12 brought the multitude of the disciples and said,